Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Doran Dickerson, Pat Bostic, Nicholas Harry Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. And joining us right now is Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you this morning?
Not bad.
Hello, Ray.
Good morning, Patrick.
Crowley is out. He's on paternity leave. He's out for 2 weeks, so he'll be chilling. And I think he has a bachelor party. So next week I'll be out, so I don't know who's going to be filling in. But we got you right now, Ray. And, you know, we were just talking about training camp. I mean, about a month away till the Steelers report. And do you have any interesting position battles that you're looking at for training camp?
Yeah, I mean, there are several. If you look at it, Doran, they're all pretty much on offense. You kind of got the three-way thing at tackle, right, with Jones, Faletanu, and Moore. How is that going to play out? I think we all know Steelers aren't going to rush that. You know, they're going to make Faletanu earn it, but that's the big one for me. I want to see when Faletanu gets that opportunity with the ones, does he seize it? And then obviously there are going to be domino effects after that. And then beyond that, guys, there's center with Herbig and Frazier. There's receiver, you know, Roman Wilson versus, you know, Scotty Miller, Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins, you know, all those guys. So there are like three or four battles that are going to happen here. And, you know, I don't know that we're going to find out in late July what they're thinking, but I think by mid-August we're going to get a feel for how they feel about all those positions.
Ray, what's your best bet on the starting left and right tackle for the season opener?
For the season opener? Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go – I've been pretty consistent on this. I'm going to go Faletanu up on the right side and Broderick Jones kicks over to the left. And my reasoning for that, you know, it's hard to tell, guys, like in – especially with offensive linemen in OTAs and minicamp because the pads aren't on. But I'm just leaning on his experience at Washington, 30 career starts. It's a different situation than what Broderick Jones went through last year. I think Broderick genuinely had to, you know, tighten some things up before they can put him out there. I think Faletanu is going to be a little bit different. It's hard for me to say 100% because – we haven't seen him in pads yet. And, you know, there is that transition from left to right that he's currently going through. But I think Jones will be on the left side, and I think Faletanu will be the right side for that season opener.
Give us a surprising player throughout training camp and preseason that we'll be like, oh, man, this guy had a really, really good camp, and he has the opportunity to either make the team or be a big component to – the Steelers winning this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to – because I don't know Arthur's offense, you know, intimately. Doran, you probably have a better feel for that. But there's this Jack Coletto guy, this fullback from Oregon State. And I don't know how much he's used a fullback in Atlanta or Tennessee. But Coletto is a big guy. He's versatile. Obviously, he would have to make it on special teams first and then – you know, maybe he carves out a niche on offense. He was intriguing for me. Again, a fullback in shorts. Again, you can't really tell a lot. But, you know, I'm watching him. And then, of course, you know, the receiver situation. The one guy who stood out to me among the receivers, I don't think he's a number two, but I think he could earn a spot on this team, is Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller and Russell Wilson had a little bit of chemistry in OTAs and minicamp. Russ looked to him a lot, and I want to see if that continues up at St. Vincent as well.
So the speculation continues. Does Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk make it to Pittsburgh? Does that happen or not?
Yeah, I mean, Pat, just from reading some of the coverage in San Francisco, it seems to me that San Francisco cannot afford to have Ayuk and Samuel on their team beyond the 2024 season, okay? The question becomes, is it going to be a distraction for them to have Samuel and Ayuk on their team in 2024? And you kind of look at what Ayuk's been doing, you know, social media, and he's putting stuff out there. I think he's kind of putting some pressure on the situation. You know, Deebo had his thing a couple years ago where he wanted a new contract, and I don't think he's entirely happy now. So, you know, Ayuk is in the last year of his deal. He's on the rookie option. Deebo has – you know, basically 2 years left on his deal. I saw yesterday, I looked it up, San Francisco can get out from under that after the 2024 season, but they'd be taking a, you know, there'd be a little bit of cap damage, you know, for them, you know, walking away from that. So different situations, but, you know, for the Steelers, I think the price would have to come down. They'd have to get one of those guys probably for a 2025 second round pick or so. And then, of course, you know, they have to decide, can we pay Debo $25 million a year? Can we pay Ayuk probably more than that? That's, you know, that's the calculus that they're probably going through right now.
Ray, I think that this is ridiculous, and I firmly believe that the Steelers will not go this route, but it's been floated out there, and it's been floated out there multiple times. And Crowley honestly started this about a month and a half ago, and I told him he was ridiculous. I don't think the Steelers are going to do this, but we might as well ask you the question. If this quarterback situation doesn't work out with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, could you see the Steelers exploring signing Dak Prescott?
Yeah, I mean, but Dak is what? I mean, Dak is making over $40 million with the Cowboys, right? So for me, he's not, you know, no matter what happens, let's say he has a bad year in Dallas. I mean, he's not going to come down to the point where he's going to be a bargain. And I say bargain, you know, like Baker Mayfield makes like $30 million, $33 million a year now. So even those mid-tier quarterbacks who are in that transition from, you know, I don't know, Dak has been like what, top 12, top 10 type of guy. Even if he's not viewed that way anymore, is he going to want to take a $10 million pay cut? So, I mean, I'm with you, Doran. I don't think that's a viable option. And to be honest with you, I don't know what's going to happen if Fields or Wilson doesn't work. I think, I don't want to call it a disaster, but I think the hope within the Steelers organization, obviously, is one of those guys works out. And I think preferably for them, it would be Russell Wilson, and they could ride this out for a year or two beyond 2024.
Crowley brought up Prescott.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. A while ago.
He thinks it's a good idea.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, dear God.
I know. And we had a nice back and forth about it. And then Jeremy Fowler.
He asked for like $64 million now.
That's what I said. Yeah. Like, I mean, then Jeremy Fowler and some other outlets have reported, oh, Dak Prescott could be an option. So that just fueled Crowley. His head's as big as this room right now, thinking that he started it. Of course.
I literally lost my train of thought completely.
Stadium.
As a result of that, as a result of that breaking news. Sorry, Ray. I apologize for that. I just it floored me. I've literally been floored by a young little man.
Ray, the Steelers, you know, they're competing in the offseason. They're signing quarterbacks, and obviously, Russell, we just talked about it, and they're trying to, you know, possibly get another wide receiver, but they need to be competing in the other area, I believe. And Jacksonville is building a new stadium. It's going to be over $1 billion. Buffalo's building a new stadium. It's going to be over $1 billion. The Titans are building a new stadium, over $1 billion. And Carolina, over $1 billion. The Steelers probably are not going to build a new stadium, but do you think that they will make the appropriate renovations in the coming years to Acrisure Stadium?
Yeah, and there's always going to be, you know, tension between the county and the city because, you know, it doesn't always seem like everyone is on the same page about who is going to pay for that type of stuff. But eventually, I do think they'll get it done. I mean, listen, I do think it's probably a little bit too early to be talking about a new stadium. I mean, it was 2001, so it's not even 25 years old yet. So, you know, I think we'll probably have to be talking over 30 years old, maybe even over 35 before we go down that road. But yeah, I think eventually at some point they are going to need a new stadium. You know, it might be 2034 instead of 2024, but that's probably coming down the road. So, you know, I compare it to what happens in college football. Everyone's building these facilities, these practice facilities. It's, you know, it's an arms race, and that's the case in the NFL too. You got to match what other people are doing. So yeah, I mean, it's not coming in the near future, but in the long-term future, I don't think it's out of the question that we are talking about a new stadium probably within about a decade or so.
Thank you, Ray. I would say we would talk to you next week, but I don't know who will be in our place. So
someone will talk to you next week, Ray.
Someone will talk to you next week.
I'm sure Nicholas Callis will keep me abreast of the situation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll see you, Ray. Have a good day.
All right. See you.